So the sermon this week, it was inspired by the Daily Bread devotional, I think from a week or so ago, and also from Romans 8, 38 to 39. I entitled it a gratitude journal. I don't know about anybody here, but I've been journaling for somewhere around 25 years. I do two journals. I do a food journal, and I also do an event journal. And although I do pray and say grace at every meal, going through my food journal every now and then, I am thankful for how blessed I've been to never be lack of food, but that I've been able to have a good, healthy food all of my life. Very grateful for that. And in the event journal, a devotional, your utmost for your highest. It's a devotional and a journal. And I've gone through, I think, maybe two or three of these books, because I filled them up journaling all this time. And it's neat to do a devotional and read my journal every morning. I can go back maybe 5 years, maybe back 10 years, and recount specific things in my life to be very, very thankful for. So the good, I always puts a smile on my face. Some of the guys from a Bible study get a kick out of. I put in there when they first came to the Bible study. And all these really neat events encourage me from my past life. And even the bad things I can look at, recently going through a death, going through operations and sickness, and looking back over those, the bad doesn't seem that bad now. And in the bad and even the ugly, I can be very, very thankful that God was with me through all of those things. And looking back, it just seems different than it did at the time. So even though those two aren't really considered a gratitude journal, it's neat that you can give gratitude. And a gratitude journal is a really, really great idea. And if you don't journal, it's a neat way to start, where just think about each day, one thing during the day that pops to your mind that you are really grateful for, and put it down in writing somewhere. And what you'll find out is if you do that for a week or two, you're going to have a more thankful heart, because you're going to have to decide, you're going to realize how many things during a day you're thankful for. And you're going to find yourself, wow, which one am I going to put in my journal? So by doing that, we can actually get ourselves in an attitude of gratitude, which isn't a bad way to go through life, is it? And this scripture I'm about to read is one very big thing we should all be grateful for. Romans 8. 38 to 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Can I get an amen? So these verses contain one of the most comforting promises in all of Scripture. Believers have always had to face hardships in many forms: persecutions, illnesses, imprisonment, even death. And sometimes cause us to hear that they've been thinking we've been abandoned by Christ. But Paul exclaims that it is impossible to be separated from Christ. His death for us is proof of his unconquerable love. Nothing can separate us from Christ's presence. God tells us how great his love is so that we will freely feel secure in him. Now, if we believe these overwhelming assurances, we will never be really afraid, and we will grow more thankful. Jesus says, "You are mine for all time, and nothing can separate you from my love. Since I have invested my very life in you, be well assured that I will also take care of you." So when your mind goes into neutral and your thoughts flow freely, you tend to feel anxious and alone. Your focus becomes problem solving. So to get your mind back in gear, just turn toward me, bringing yourself and your problems into my presence. Many problems vanish instantly in the light of my love, because you realize you are never, ever alone. Other problems may remain, but they become secondary to knowing me and rejoicing in the relationship I so freely offer you. Each moment you can choose to practice my presence or to practice the presence of problems. I am with you and I am for you, your constant companion and provider. The question is whether you are with me and for me. Though I never leave you, you can essentially leave me. Leave me by ignoring me, or thinking or acting as if I am not with you. So when you feel distant in our relationship, you know where the problem is. My love for you is constant. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is you who changes, like shifting sand, letting circumstances toss you to and fro. When you feel far from me, whisper my name, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, what would you do in this situation? You see, this simple act done in childlike faith opens your heart to my presence. Speak to me. Prepare to receive my love. That love flows freely and eternally from the cross. I am always, always delighted when you open yourself to my loving presence. Paul gives us a gratitude reminder in Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. There's that in again. We got to learn as Christians to stay in that fixed position. In the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Jesus tells us something in John 6, verses 67 and 68. Leading up to this, we find some of Jesus' followers and some of his disciples are leaving him. And then Jesus says to the 12, his closest followers, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So there is no middle ground with Jesus. When he asked the disciples if they would leave, he was showing that they could either accept or reject him. Same like us. We have a choice, accepting or rejecting. So Jesus was not trying to repel people by his teaching. He was only telling the truth. The more the people heard Jesus' real message, the more they divided into two camps, two groups. The honest seekers who wanted to understand more, and those who rejected Jesus because they didn't like what they had heard. So after many of Jesus' followers deserted him, he asked the 12 close ones, the actual apostles, if they were also going to leave. And there's Peter's reply: to whom would we go? So in Peter's straightforward way, Peter answered for all of us, didn't he? There is no other way. Though there are many philosophies and many self-styled authorities, Jesus alone has the words to eternal life. People look everywhere for eternal life and may miss Jesus Christ, the only source. Stay with him, especially when you are confused or when you feel all alone. You see, people often associate commitment with their emotions. If they feel the right way, then they can follow through on their commitments. But true commitment doesn't work that way. It's not an emotion. Commitment is a character quality that enables us. Human emotions go up and down all the time, but commitment has to be rock solid. So there are some things every Christian needs to know about being committed. Commitment usually is discovered amid adversity. Commitment does not depend on gifts or our abilities. It comes as a result of choice, not conditions. And it lasts when it's based on values. And the greatest value base, the greatest, is love. In John chapter 15:13, it's put this way for us: greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus willingly died on the cross to identify with all those searching for truth and wisdom. Truth and wisdom gives us balance. Truth and wisdom gives us strength. Truth and wisdom gives us insight. Balance, strength, insight. None of these is a natural trait. Each is a byproduct of wisdom and truth. Are you among them searching? Have you heard that what Jesus said to you from the cross? You were there. I was there. Now, it's true we hadn't even been born yet, but our sins were present that day. It wasn't just the soldiers, the thieves, the religious leaders who took part in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Our sins, my sin and your sin, also nailed him to the tree. No one could have ever forced Jesus to the cross had he been unwilling to go. This is what they call the crux of the cross, the most important part. All heaven stood to fight. All nature rose to rescue. All eternity poised to protect. But the Creator gave no command. "It must be done," Jesus said. And the angel spoke again. "It would be less painful." But Jesus quietly interrupted, "But it wouldn't be love." Jesus chose to go to Calvary. He willingly laid down his life for the sins of the world. And when Jesus hung on the cross, a great unseen cosmic battle raged in the heavens. And in the end, Jesus Christ triumphed. Christ triumphed over the forces of evil. Christ triumphed over the forces of death. And Christ even triumphed over the forces of hell itself, giving us the greatest of all hope, eternal forgiveness. The greatest vision of sin is at the cross, where we also see the greatest vision of love. Jesus hung from the cross with us in mind. Psalm 107 reminds us, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." According to research, people who are intentionally grateful for what they have report better sleep, fewer symptoms of illness, and more happiness. Those are impressive benefits. Psychologists even suggest keeping a gratitude journal. To improve our well-being, writing down things we're grateful for each week. Let me think about this. Better sleep? Less illness? More happiness? Could writing down one thing a day be worth it? See, Scripture has long promoted the practice of gratitude. Gratitude for meals and marriages in 1 Timothy. Gratitude for the beauties of creation in the Psalms. So the Bible has called us to see such things as gifts and to be thankful for the giver of them. "This is the day that I have made. Rejoice and be glad in it." Begin the day with open hands of faith, ready to receive all that I am pouring into this brief portion of your life. Be careful not to complain about anything, even the weather, since I am the author of your circumstances. The best way to handle unwanted situations is to thank me for them. The act of faith frees you from resentment and frees me to work my ways into the situation that good emerges from it. To find joy in this day, you must live within its boundaries. I knew what I was doing when I divided time into 24-hour segments. I understand human frailty, and I know that you can bear the weight of only one day at a time. So don't worry about tomorrow. Don't get stuck in the past. There is abundant life in my presence today. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Let us be thankful and glad in it. Father God, I'm grateful for every good thing you've brought in my life. And most of all, I'm grateful for you. Thank you for showing me the way. Thank you for showing me the truth. Thank you for showing me the life eternal. Please grant me one more thing. Please, Lord, one more thing. A grateful heart. And with that grateful heart, we could have a great day. And with a grateful heart, we'll certainly have a better eternity. Amen.